So last week, a lot of you called in and said that you couldn't hear the answers that Dr. Brown was giving when it came to our latest COVID question. So I wanted to have Dr. Brown come back on to answer some of your questions about COVID. You ready for that, Dr. Brown?
Absolutely, Melissa.
Okay, so let's start first of all. We got a question in asking about school-aged children. How many kids have actually ended up in the hospital with COVID? I think the reason they were asking this is because we're seeing so many people contracting COVID all of a sudden, and people are wondering, are these younger people like school-aged kids, or are these still young adults we're seeing?
You know, I would say that we're not seeing a lot. And again, remember, a lot of hospitals in the local area do not admit pediatric patients, so they don't admit kids. So we wouldn't see a lot sort of locally. I can tell you from some of my colleagues up at the Children's Hospital, it doesn't sound like we're admitting a lot of children who are don't have any underlying illness. And that's the concern is that people, you know, children who have underlying illness are going to be more at risk. They're more at risk for any type of infection, and COVID-19 is just another one that is very infectious and that can potentially go to them. So I can't say that we're seeing a lot of children. I could say young adults are at least coming into the emergency department. A lot of them are not getting admitted, but again, it is affecting them.
So would you say that COVID in general, whether it's the Delta variant or it's even still just the original COVID-19, are we still seeing that kids virtually are not really impacted overall by COVID?
You know, it's looking more like they're developing, you know, a normal viral infection, cough, cold, illness. They're definitely getting sick. And what we're finding is that they're getting sick and then they're transmitting it to unvaccinated adults, young adults, and, you know, older adults that have not been vaccinated, which is sort of the big concern that we had early on, is that, and I don't know if you remember some of the early discussions about when COVID first came out, as children as the vectors. So children having a mild illness but still carrying the virus, potentially spreading that to adults. That's definitely happening now.
So some people have actually said something very similar to what I say, which is I have been, and I know you know this, Dr. Brown, I've been on the fence until I see what this vaccine looks like for kids, for little kids, like my 3-year-old. I'm very nervous about it. And again, I'm vaccinated. My husband, my entire family is vaccinated. So I believe in the COVID vaccine. I trust our doctors. I trust people like you. But the thing that I think I'm hearing, which is concerning to me, is that because there are so many unvaccinated adults, kids need to get vaccinated not to spread it on to the unvaccinated. And I think that's what bothers me, is the idea that come this fall, I will probably have to vaccinate my 3-year-old because there are unvaccinated adults out there. Is that accurate, or do you think that there's more reason that kids should be getting vaccinated?
Well, I think there's two reasons for children to get vaccinated, and unfortunately, there is that one aspect where if a child ends up getting infected, and then it can get easily transmitted, and I'm going to use easily because that's what it's looking like, mm-hmm. easily transmitted to an unvaccinated. We do need to remember, though, if there is, you know, enough virus that's being shed by any person, even if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, and you use the word tool, you know, vaccine is a tool. If you have a constant connection and a constant close contact with a child, which a lot of parents do, even if you're vaccinated, you could potentially get that infection. So that's sort of the first aspect of it. The second aspect is that we don't know what's going to happen down the road. We do know that the variants continue to change. We see different strains that are coming out. We do know that the age of those who are infected are getting a little bit lower. We just don't know if this changes and has a dramatic change where it's now going to infect children. So we would almost think of it as a preemptive. You know, are we vaccinating, you know, for those two reasons? One is to prevent, you know, this continued spread, to enhance herd immunity, and two is to prevent children from actually getting really sick from it.
Dr. Brown is here of Griffin Hospital. And another question in regards to COVID, you know, people want to know, is it possible for a vaccinated person to be a carrier of COVID and transmit it to someone unvaccinated? It sounds like you're saying it's not likely, but it certainly is possible.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's not likely, but it is definitely possible. Again, it is a virus. The virus doesn't know if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. The virus does what it does. The nice thing about being vaccinated is your body will then respond to that virus. So when that virus shows up, it tries to eliminate it. If it overwhelms our immune system or we're immunocompromised, a little plug for eating, right, and exercising, which does decrease your immune system, no matter if you're vaccinated or not. Mm-hmm. So that can actually get in there. If it does get an infection, that means it's going to continue to produce these little virons, these little virus particles, and then you can breathe that out to someone else.
Now, Dr. Brown, we get a lot of questions, especially as we head closer and closer to back to school. Parents are pushing for unmasking their children, and until a vaccine is available, I know the governor is leaning towards, unless you are a private institution or a Catholic school or something, he's leaning towards, it is going to come down to the district, but kind of encouraging school districts to mask up their kids. And parents want to really understand, because I think, again, it's important that we get the right information out there. There have been some health studies that have suggested that masks aren't that healthy for kids to be wearing. And I wanted to really set the record straight with you. Some of the concerns around masks, are they true? Are they not so true? What are the bad sides of your kids wearing masks in schools? And obviously, what are the pros to having them still wear them?
Right. So I've actually seen this too, and I think we need to continue to focus on the science. And listen, I don't think it's wear a mask or don't wear a mask. When you go down the road and you see the signs that says, unmask our children, call the governor, call your board of ed. I think we just need to be careful about this. This has always been a very flowing type of response we've had to COVID-19. If we continue to see very low numbers and it looks like we've been able to almost eliminate it from this area, then, I think taking masks off. But if we start seeing upticks like we're currently seeing now, then we need to be ready for it. So I will tell you that I've been very cautious about masks. We've been very cautious here at Griffin Hospital about wearing masks. Most healthcare institutions are still wearing masks within our facility. And I think that's an important thing. We've been careful about it. We've got a little pushback even here about, do we really need to continue to wear masks? And it comes down to two things. One, it comes down to we want to make sure that the people who are coming here who are sick, realize that we're doing everything we can to make sure that they stay, that they don't get sicker or that they, or they end up getting the virus. So we're very careful about that. And the second thing is that, once you change it to we're not wearing masks anymore, it's really hard to switch it back.
Mm-hmm.
As the governor is probably seeing right now, it's hard to say, all right, we're putting masks back on. You can't get the whole state to one week not wear a mask, the next week go, and then you'll hear comments, and I'm sure you've heard this, being in the media, and I've heard this, you hear people talk and say, well, yesterday it was okay not to wear a mask, but today
right.
I have to wear a mask, that's not really the point. The point is that the more people that do it, so if we can all change on a dime and say, all right, we're going to wear, there's an uptick, everybody wears a mask, wear a mask for a week, it probably would go away.
Right.
But it just doesn't work
that
way.
It doesn't work that way, though, yeah. Dr. Brown is here from Griffin Hospital, and he is taking your questions. We've got a couple more for you this morning, Dr. Brown. The Delta variant, obviously, is what I think is scaring people. I noticed, last week that we went up 7% in people going and getting the vaccine, which to me, I thought, okay, this is a scare tactic. We've tried everything else, like things that I don't even agree with necessarily, incentives and certain advertising, I think kind of make people not want the vaccine. But maybe the Delta variant is scaring people. I don't know. But 7% more people went to go get the vaccine last week, which, that's great. I am noticing even more like that other variants are now starting to pop up. I don't even know how dangerous these could be in comparison to the Delta variant. But like the latest one out of South America, the Lambda, I don't know if I'm saying that right, variant. I'm just curious, are we still seeing that Delta is the biggest threat right now, or are we going to possibly see a new variant even overcome Delta very soon?
Yeah. So, and as you recall, we've had different variants throughout. Mm-hmm. When this all started, we saw the Italian variant and we saw the Chinese variant.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that they were coming in different ways. And they came across from the west. One side was on the west coast, the other was on the east coast, and they sort of came towards the middle. Then we saw the UK variant, and the UK variant came here and became our predominant variant. We saw the South African variant, which probably wasn't as infectious, so didn't take on as much as the UK variant. And now we're seeing the Delta variant as being the most predominant one. The Lambda is probably the next one. We don't know how infectious that one's going to be. We do know that Delta, even though it's more infectious, it's not as any more deadly than the other ones are. So that's actually good. But I think we need to be concerned about this. If you're unvaccinated, and I will tell you that, you know what, I've seen a lot of people who have been unvaccinated, you know, get the virus. People forget. This is a bad virus. This is a really bad virus. And if you're older, you know, if you're over the age of 80, you know, or if you live with someone who's over the age of 80 that was not able to get the vaccine for whatever reason, I mean, there's a big percentage of people who die from this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the scary thing. And I'll tell you just from my clinical experience just recently, you know, I had a 60-something-year-old person who ended up having, you know, getting really, he's really sick from COVID.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just sort of the way it is. So I think we need to be really careful about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and again, there's a lot of areas that I cover, but I could tell you this is not just our state. It's several states mm-hmm. that are seeing the same thing. And we can't forget that, you know what, your loved one or your, you know, so even if you are young, you need to, it's one of those things where you got to remind, you know, if your parents choose not to get it, that they're, you know, they're at risk. And mm-hmm. there's nothing like, you know, is nothing like a 40-year-old, which we saw earlier on, you know, it's nothing like a 40-year-old, you know, prime of their life, you know, end up getting this and dying
yeah.
and having no reason for it. And that's the thing that people just need to remind her. It's not, you know, if you're concerned about yourself, you know, that's one thing, and that's great. If that's why you're going to get the vaccine, great, protect yourself. You know what? But remember that you also have to protect other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always the harder trick about this.
And Dr. Brown, my last question, because I know there are a lot of our listeners who got the J&J vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
This new study that came out this month, and it was a small study, and of course it was very early on, saying that the J&J vaccine is not strong enough to fight the Delta variant, and suggested that people who got the J&J should get a booster. And I know I did some simple math for our listeners, and I said, listen, since day one, we knew the J&J was only 65% effective versus the Pfizer and Moderna, which was about 95% effective with the two shots. To me, this seems like a very odd study to come out because, of course, it's not as effective. It's 65 versus 95. But do you necessarily need a booster? I don't know if that's necessary.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. And you're right, that was a pretty small study. You know, I don't think that people need to run out and get a booster at this point. As we know that even in the federal government, you know, there's a lot of disagreement of booster versus non-booster at this point. We also know that there was a big study done by Nature, which is a very prominent journal, which demonstrate that there is long-lasting immunity from you know, the Pfizer, Moderna, and actually I would say even the J&J. You'll still have immunity with the J&J. The problem is that because it is a lower efficacy, as you described, because it is a lower efficacy, as variants come out, they're going to circumvent. So they're going to kind of change things around in their genome so they can sneak around the immune system, because that's what viruses and bacteria do. They like to trick our immune system, get in, and then cause an infection. And that's exactly what's happening with all of the variants that we've seen. So you're going to see the efficacy of the J&J virus potentially go down, you know, but when that goes down, you know, from 65% to 60% to 50%, then that becomes a little bit more significant than the Pfizer and the Moderna, which is 95%, and then that drops down and it's, you know, 90%. 90% is still one of the best efficacies we'd see in any vaccine. So mm-hmm. it's not a big deal. So I'm not surprised it is a single shot. I'm not surprised that there will be talk, and I wouldn't be surprised if a booster does come out for the J&J.
Mm-hmm. Well, we so appreciate, of course, your time, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for taking all of our questions. And again, we will connect next week. I appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure, Melissa.